Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Haggai 1:1 to 11. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. I hope you have all signed up for the Christmas celebration that's coming up next week. We are expecting close to 100 people. So it will be a very exciting and good time we have. Let me set my timer here. So please wait, it's actually my topic. It's not to wait for me. So if you think that this is a slide to wait for the speaker, that's my topic. Please wait. So this morning we read the minor prophet Haggai, and this morning I'm going to talk about priority. So please wait. Is our excuse, or how we misprioritize our life. So there is a farmer who's have a huge farm, and he's looking for a wife. So he thinks that it's time for me to get married, and I need to start a family. And he has a huge farm. So he put an ad on the newspaper, farmer with 16 irrigated acres wants marriage-minded woman with tractor. And then he put, when replying, please show picture of tractor. Well, okay, obviously, no one's going to send him any message. But the story, the joke, just tells us what's the priority of the farmer. And it's obvious where his priority is. Where is the priority of our life? And that sets the direction and the path that we are walking. A little bit of history first. The problem with studying, especially the minor prophets, Sometimes we are a bit confused with the background. The Israelites, are they being captured? Are they in the process of being captured? Or are they in exile? Are they returning? So this morning, the prophet that we look at, Haggai, is actually, they are being returned. They are let go, to go back to their own country, to rebuild their city, their home, their temple. So their captivity formally ended in 538 BC. That's when the Cyrus the Great let them go back to end their exile. And during that years of exile, they were actually able to maintain their spirit, maintain their faith, and maintain their unity as a people of God. And they always have this hope, even during exile. And Ezekiel was one of the prophets that has been provide them uplifting hope that they will be able to return home. And the synagogues were first established. So it was a dream for them to be able to go back home and rebuild their country. So their first return was around 538 BC. And under the leadership of a person that we just read earlier, so the Bible took them back to their homeland. And 42,000 people returned back. There were actually many, many other stayed behind. Now you would think that when they were let go, all of them would be excited to go back to their homeland. But not only 42,000, a lot of them, after 70 years, they didn't want to go back. They felt comfortable with the new life, even though it's not in their own country. Just like I've been living in Canada for many years now, and this is my home. So if you ask me to go back to where I came from, I probably don't feel comfortable, even though not 70 years. So many of them were reluctant to go back. They probably settled down, have their own business, their life. 42,000 people went back to rebuild their country. And one of the things they were asked to do is to rebuild their temple, the temple of God. They started rebuilding. First thing, we went back. But after 2 years, after they built the foundation, they stopped. And so this is the background of today's lesson, today's sermon. They stopped for 16 years. Once they stopped for 16 years, so you can see that the foundation after 16 years is probably not any good. Anything there, 16 years standing there without proper care, will probably all be corroded, fell apart. And this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. So right off in the beginning of the book, the minor prophet Haggai said, the Lord said that you people, these people, and we know that the Israelites, they were the people of God. God called them my people, isn't it? But here, you notice, God said these people. Now, once you see that, you see something is not right, right? So when Cynthia called me, my Norman, come here, then I know that I'm okay, right? That Norman, come here. You're in trouble. Or you, Norman Tong, come over here. Then if your parents call you, Mr. Ernest Lowe, come over here. Then you know you're in trouble. My Ernest, come here. Then you're okay. In the Old Testament, God always called Israel my people. But they are being specially elected people that belong to God. But instead, he has said that these people, you can immediately sense this separation of God from his chosen people. Today, if God call you, would he call you my Norman or that Norman? Are you attached to God? So why off here, God put these people separated from him? They're no longer my people. These people, they said that the time has not yet come. Now, they didn't say they're not going to do it. That's the worst part with some people. I'm going to do it. I'm going to clean, do my laundry. It's just like my house most of the time is a mess. It's not that I'm not going to clean the house. I'm going to clean the house. Just that wait. When I have some time, this week I got to prepare the sermon. Next week I got to prepare the Christmas program. And then I got to prepare more sermons, Sunday school. I'm going to do it. I'm going to clean up the house. Right? It's just that, please just wait. I didn't say I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to serve you. But please wait. The time has not yet come. It's not like the non-Christians. I'm not a Christian. I'm not going to go to church. That's it. I'm a non-believer. I'm not going to give money to the church. I'm not going to serve in the church. I am not a Christian. So it's very clear cut. The problem is with us Christians. We are going to do it, but just not now. Right? We know the duties of Christians. We know that we are God's people. We know that there are certain obligations we have to do. We know that we have to love God. We know that we have to serve him wholeheartedly. We know all this. We know that we have to come to worship. In the Old Testament, if you don't keep the Sabbath, it's punishment by death. We can't do that here today. But I'm going to do it, but just not now. Wait. Wait. The time has not yet come. When I was in university, I became a Christian when I was in school. And I became very active in bringing people to Christ. I joined a Christian group when I was in UBC. And I always invite my friends, my schoolmates to come at lunchtime. So it was Thursday afternoon, lunchtime. So we have a Christian group. So I always invite my classmates to come. I was in engineering, so all my classmates are all from engineers. And I have a very good friend, so I invite him to come. So he come. He came a few times, and he really liked the Christian gathering. So I said, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? I love to go, but wait. Let me finish my study first. There's so much schoolwork, exams. You know, in engineering, we are famous for taking the most number of courses. There's so many assignments. Wait until I finish school. So he finished school, but did not come to church with me. So some years back, later on, I met him again in the banquet, sat next to me, said, now that we are all working, you have more time, you know, you want to come to church and visit us? So, oh, no, I'm so busy. I'm just starting a business. I'm starting an engineering firm. I need to borrow a lot of money to start this company. Just wait until I establish my business. I will come. And I never see him again. We all know that we have to serve him. We all know that we have to put God first. But just wait until I have some time. Let me finish my study first. Let me get my business, my career, all settled down first. I need to establish myself at work. I need to work really hard. I want to climb up this ladder. Let me get married first. That's very important in life. I need to spend time in looking for a partner. My kids are so young. I need to spend time absolutely right. We need to spend time with our family. Let my kids become older first. Well, now just two of us. Now it's just Cynthia and I now. We just two of us living in this tiny little house. Just two of us now. Maybe I will serve when I retire first. I'm almost close to retirement now. You know, I found that the busiest people in church are those people who retired. So I asked one couple, now that you just retired, now can you take up some ministry? Oh no, Pastor Norman, we are really busy. There's so many things, so many places we want to go. We don't have time. Ask those younger people. So I sent me back to square one. It's never time to do for God, but we always find time to do other things. Even when you retire, you will be so busy. So I found this poem on the internet. I am sick of being an unorganized mess. And all it does is cause me stress. But I have no motivation. So failure is my destination. I want to change desperately, but I can't break this pattern that traps me. I want to get my life back on track, but willpower is something that I lack. So instead, I will stir her and let my anxiety, I'll sit here and let my anxiety grow. I doubt things will be any different tomorrow. We want to, when it comes to things that we don't think is our priority, we want to wait. But then we always have time to do things that we find it very important. I don't know what that is for you, right? Watch your movie, sports. Is it a time for you yourself to be living in your panelled houses? While the lost house, his house remains a ruin. Now the Lord continue to scold the Israelites. You came back, God kept his promise, brought you back from exile. Give you back your own country, and then you can rebuild. Now you have already finished rebuilding your own house. Living in a panels is a house with a roof. Nothing wrong with having your own house. Here, the prophet is not saying that, no, you should not have your riches bad for you. You should not have your own house. You should not have your own car. No, not that. But you already have all this. You already have your house, your own house built. Right? It's not that you should live in a house without a roof, a panel is a roof, in your panel house. But it's that you already, God already blessed you, right, with your house and many other things. But how about the lost temple? It is the priority. We have time to look after our things first, but not God's temple. Why is the temple so important? It is not the building. This building is not important, but it looks really nice because of the decoration. But it is our worship that is most important. The temple is a place for the Israel people where they meet God, where they worship God. So the importance is not the building. God is not asking them to rebuild the temple, the building. but so we build this place where they can meet God and worship God. This is the importance of rebuilding the temple. Because in the Old Testament, this is where the place where they come and worship and meet God. Today, we can worship God anywhere, but it is the heart that God is going after the people. People have lost their heart to worship God. Later on, we know that they start rebuilding the temple, and it only took them 4 years. They started in 520 BC, and they finished in 516. So it's only 4 years. It only took them 4 years to rebuild the temple, but they sat there for 16 years, waited. While they were focused on building their own house, looking after their own things, it's a misplaced priorities. For God's things, wait. So the Lord said, you need to reflect, give careful thought to your ways. If I translate it word by word from Hebrew, so I translated there below as a word by word translation. Now does the Lord says, consider the heart and your ways. The NIV translates as give careful thought to your ways. But the Hebrew word by word is consider the heart and your ways. It's talking about your heart. God care that much about the building. It is your heart. Even if you come here and worship, I'm sure your heart is here. It is a lot of effort to get up in the morning and drive, take a bus. I know that some of you actually take the public transit here. Take a bus to come here to worship. It is not the physical, the building, the attendance, but it is your heart. God knows your heart. So those ones who give their hearts to the Lord, God will bless you as we read on. It is where your heart is. When you say, I can do devotion anywhere, it is true, but God knows your heart. I don't need to come to prayer meetings. I pray anytime, everywhere, but it is, again, your heart. You say that all my money belongs to God. When I die, it all goes to God. But God knows where your heart with your money. So Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. Do I have that here? No, that is okay. So we need to reflect, where is our heart this morning? The church is like, when I prepare this, I start thinking about all the churches today. After the pandemic, it's kind of like going back to rebuild the church. It's not the building is the same. But almost all the churches after the pandemic has gone through so much change. It's like rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the worship. Our church has changed. I'm not sure you know. May not be that much for English, but even for English, we have lost people. Many people from the Cantonese congregation actually rest in the Lord in the last few years. Not necessarily because of COVID, just because of old age. Some people left the church. Some people changed the church to another church. Some people just left and never go to church again. And in the Cantonese, you notice probably half the congregation have not returned. But there's also change, mostly in the Cantonese congregation, that we are flooded with newcomers every Sunday. In the last 3 months, we have about 60 newcomers. That's double our congregation here. We have immigrants coming to our church every Sunday. We have so many kids that here in our church the first time. We have so many teens coming the church has changed. It's like rebuilding our church, not this physical, but the democratic. Our worship is being rebuilt. If your heart is not with your church, with God, God will punish you. David, even though he is living in his palace, David said, "Here I am living in the house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." You can see where the heart of David, King David, is. He meditate and think of the Lord's temple, the ark. David Livingstone, I'm not sure he's the first missionary to Africa, but he's probably the most well-known missionary to Africa. He was a young doctor when he left England to go to Africa to become a missionary. He died at a very young age, not too old. And when he died, his body was shipped back to England for burial. But his heart was taken out and left in Africa. And they built a monument. It was buried under a tree. And then they built a monument there. His heart buried in Africa. Just shows where his priority is. Where is our priority this morning? Is God first? And if we set our priority wrong, there's punishment that's coming. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. That sounds familiar. Just like Canada. We work so hard, but we never can save any money in the bank. We have holes in it. You expect that much, but see, it turns out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. That's a warning. Pastors don't like to preach punishment. It's not, people would not like to come to church to worship, and then you keep condemning people. Churches like to preach the love, forgiveness of God, isn't it? It's okay. These things may be wrong, but it's okay. God is love. He'll forgive. He'll love you. You always want to, people like to hear positive, optimistic things, teachings, love of God. But here, we have to also balance. There's punishment. It may not be material things that God will take away from you. We have to remember in the Old Testament, God's blessing is rarely, most of the time, associated with material blessings, because in the Old Testament, that's how people can understand God's love. But in the New Testament, you notice that Jesus never associated blessings with material prosperity. In the New Testament, God's blessing is always, when you put God first, God will be with you. Jesus will be in your heart, and you will live an abundant life. Actually, it is also true, the same in the Old Testament. When God blessed his people, it's not just material prosperity, but also that they become God's people, that God will be with them. That is the biggest blessing. But here, God reminded them, if you do not put him first, there is punishment that God will. Well, I won't say, for Christians, God will never leave you, but you will not experience
God's abundance. So go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house. Something that took them 4 years to rebuild the temple, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. Just do it. Go up in the mountains. They came and began to work. It's one of the few books in the Old Testament that the people actually repented. After the prophets warned them, most of the time they just continue their life. Most of the time they just listen and forget. But this is one few exceptions. They actually repented. They also all get up, just do it right away. Within a few months, they start rebuilding the temple after 16 years. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty. And God's blessing immediately go back to them. What is God's blessing? I am with you. Wow. What better blessings. Today you may think that I am busy with all these other things I'm pursuing. Yes, you need to study well, absolutely. I studied really hard when I was in school. I worked really hard when I was an engineer. I worked harder than I would say. I'm almost the last person to leave in the office. I worked really hard, but we need to put God as our highest priority. And when we do that, the biggest blessing you will receive is God said that I am with you. Even in the Old Testament time, this is the biggest blessing. Not the material things. God blessed them right away. I never knew a man who was good at making excuses, who was good at anything else. Let us not make excuses. Let's put God as our priority. God has to be first place in our life. Your priority must be God first, God second, and God third. Until your life is continually face to face with God. And that's when God is with you. That is his blessing. We have to look after our family, absolutely. We have to work hard at work. We should. Christians have to work hard to just show the others that we are good workers. But it's got top priority in your life. Have you put him first? Like the Israelites. Wait. They did not say that, I'm not going to do it. No, just wait. Let me do other things first. And top priority of our ministry is worship. Worship is absolutely the number one first priority of anything that we do in church, is to worship God. We have to put worship in the highest place in our ministry. I have never missed a worship in all my years. Even when I was in school, I never missed one worship unless I cannot get out of bed, unless I'm sick. But I don't usually get sick on Sunday. I usually get sick on Monday. I don't know why. I think it's God's blessing. When I can't remember. Even when I serve as a pastor, I don't get on Sunday. That's why you never miss me on any Sundays. I always get sick on Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I'm okay by Friday. And then I come to fellowship. I never miss a worship or a fellowship in my 6 years of engineering study. I still remember that. I look forward to coming to church, even in the snow, in the storm. May not be earthquakes. I look forward to the fellowship every Friday night. Even when I'm working, I'm on site, I always try to catch the last flight to come back to the fellowship on Friday night. Is this your priority? What is your priority? The worst thing today is that we are Christians. half-hearted Christians. Half-hearted Christians are the most miserable people of all. They're worse than non-Christians because they know enough about God to feel guilty, but they haven't gone far enough with Christ to be happy. What an accurate statement, isn't it? I love this. If you are non-Christian, it's okay. I don't feel guilty not going to church. I'm not a Christian. But Christian, we suffer. We know what is the right thing to do, but yet we chose. I don't want to. I'm not a pastor. Why do I have to do the best for the Lord? I'm okay with being a 51% Christian. I still go to heaven. I'm not going to compete with all the pastors in the heaven. I don't care. I don't need all this reward. I don't want any reward. I'm quite happy. I want to have Christ and have the world at the same time. Christians can actually do that, isn't it? I earn the world and I have Christ and eternal life. But they are miserable people. They know enough about God to feel guilty. But they haven't got far enough with Christ to be happy, just like the Israelites. We are God's people. Okay, God called us these people, but we are still God's people, even though these people. Okay, we know that we have to build God's temple, but wait for another few more years. We need to tithe to the Lord. But let me make more money first. I'll tithe 2% for now, but I still tithe. Don't say that I don't give to the Lord. I still give 1% to the Lord. But when I have more money, I'll give 10% or even 12%. God will forgive me. I serve him, but when I have more time, I'll serve him more. I read the Bible. I read once a week. And when I have time, more time, I will read every day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's the second verse I memorized when I became a new Christian. The first verse is John 3:16, and then the second verse is this verse, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This is what the book we study this morning is teaching us. When they put God's things first, God bless them with the biggest reward, which is God with them. Today, when you put God's thing first, God doesn't promise you you will get a fancy car. I still drive a 20-year-old Accord with 20-year-old tires that doesn't run very well in snow. After I worked about for 3 years, I saved enough money, so I went to study at Regents for 2 years full-time. At that time, I was the only one who was working in my family. I got my mom, my grandma, my two sisters, a younger sister and a younger brother, and I'm the only one who was working. I stopped working, and then I went to Regent College for 2 years full-time. When I used up all my money, I went back and to engineering. But those 2 years really gave me so much blessings, learning. When I put God's things first, God will bless. I find I can, as a living testimony, to tell you that this promise, that God promised, is 100% true, guaranteed. Guaranteed by God. When you put him first, he'll bless you. I don't have a big house. I got a little house on a very expensive piece of lot in Vancouver, like any house in Vancouver. I drive old car, but I felt so blessed by the Lord. God blessed me with Cynthia, with two children. God blessed me even at my age. God gave me opportunity to serve as your senior pastor. And this is true blessing. And I can
support is God's promise. If you seek him first, put his thing first, he will bless you so much that you feel overwhelmed. But on the other way, if you put your thing first, you may think that you have gained the whole world, but yet you have lost the presence of the Lord. There's a very famous artist by the name, a German artist, Adolf Mansell, 1815 to 1905. It's a very famous German artist. They call this kind of artist a realist artist. I'm not artist, so I don't know the difference. Realist artist and history artist. So he liked to draw history through his paintings. He was one of the two most famous artists, prominent artists of the 19th century. And he's being a history artist, he liked to draw kings, emperors. So he started a painting. He's trying to draw a painting of Frederick II, which is at that time a king of Prussia from 1772 until his death in 1786, king of Prussia. So he started this painting, and then start painting all the generals. And you can see the very vivid expression on all the generals surrounding King Frederick II. So he started the painting by drawing each general. They all have a different expression. So this painting is actually in a museum in Munich today. And then he was going to do the king, Frederick II, the last. And you can see that he sketched a space in there. But unfortunately, he died before he finished the painting. So he has a painting with all the generals, not the king. The person he was trying to dedicate this painting to, King Frederick II. But this painting still end up in the museum just because of him being a famous artist. It's kind of sad, isn't it? The main character of the painting is missing. Today, when our life ends, our life is like a painting. When we go to see the Lord asks us to present the painting of our life. And then we can show this painting, and then we can see that we have sold 5,000 cars in my life. I have sold so many houses. I'm a real estate agent. I've completed so many businesses, and I am an engineer. I built so many projects. I'm really proud of the projects I built. I built so many mining projects in my life. Oh, I have, look at that, I have 3 houses, you know? 5 cars. Look at my children, they're all successful. So we show God this painting, but yet we forgot to paint Jesus in our painting. How devastating that would be. It'd be like this painting. We have everything else so painted nicely, but yet we missed the most important person in the painting. For us, it's the Lord, our Lord Jesus. So let's put our priority in the right place. Let's start with painting Jesus in our painting first. And the rest will fall into places. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you as we're being reminded by Haggai that we have to put your temple first. We have to put you first as our priority. We have to put the worship first as our priority in our life.
and the rest you will bless us with. We will be overwhelmed by your blessings. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.